Hey everybody, Rob Sisternier here, getting ready for tonight's live Survivor Know-It-Alls with Stephen Fishback, and what a great merge episode we have to talk about. So much to get into. Before we start tonight's show, I want to take a moment and tell you about one of the other podcasts you could hear here on Podcast One. It's the Overthinking It podcast, hosted by Matt Rather, and I actually am a listener of this show. It is very smart, and if you like Survivor Know-It-Alls and pop culture, you're going to really like hearing these guys break down everything that is going on each week in pop culture from a very intellectual standpoint. So it's one of my favorite shows that I listen to. I think you'll like it too. Here is a little bit about the Overthinking It podcast and then Survivor Know-It-Alls.
I'm Matt Rather from the Overthinking It podcast, now at podcastone.com. On Overthinking It, your smart, funny friends from the internet talk about, well, does it really make economic sense for the Death Star to blow up Alderaan?
As Grand Moff Tarkin, you got to ask yourself, is it a debtor planet or is it a creditor planet?
The problem with blackmail is like you really need to come in and talk to Bail Organa and say like, you know, this is a nice planet you've got here. It'd be a shame if someone were to shoot a giant laser into the core and explode it.
Overthinking It. Download it now at podcastone.com.
The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor Know-It-Alls.
All right, we are live here, Survivor Know-It-Alls, after a fantastic night of Survivor. What a merge episode, Stephen Fishback.
Crazy, crazy episode. Amazing. You know, the merge is always a great episode, but I thought this one, you know, was particularly awesome. 12 people on the beach, you know, 16 different alliances, everyone going every which way. And until Tribal Council, I literally had zero clue where the votes were going to go. And then it was explosive. It was explosive what happened. You know, blue collars got all the votes. Jen plays the idol. Kelly goes home. My God, Rob, I'm reeling.
Great. Best episode of the season, and it's not close. And I'm so excited. There's nobody else that I'd rather be with right now, Stephen Fishback.
Oh, that's so nice. Me neither. Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, so we're right here talking about this episode. And we, much like Jen tonight, are going to float like a butterfly, sting like a bee.
Get bee stung like a dent. Yeah. I don't even know where to start with that. Because that's why I get to sort of float along while you do the lead work.
Yes. Very excited to be here with America's favorite know-it-all, Stephen Fishback.
Yeah. What a great, where do you come down on this tribe name, Rob? America, great tribe name or terrible tribe name?
Boy, Stephen, recording the evolution of strategy with Josh Wigler over all these weeks and months now, I've basically watched through almost 20 seasons of Survivor at this point, and I pay very close attention to the merged tribe names.
Yeah,
and I have certain things that I like and certain things that I don't like, and this is unprecedented here. That we are taking another common word and just taking a letter off of it, and America, I think I'm probably siding more on with Shireen on this. Sorry to say.
Liked it. I liked America. I thought it was fun. You know, it hits the like red, blue and yellow, you know, or almost white, red, blue and off white theme of the season. I thought that's fun. You know, America is like a very famous hashtag, you know, and it's
America. Tribe name.
Yeah. You know, it's celebratory of both the greatness and the ridiculousness of America. Like if you are driving your pickup truck into the sunset, wielding your shotgun and like mowing down bald eagles, like that's America, right? You're like 14, you know, quarter pounders, you're eating all once. Like that's like the beauty and the insanity of America. And that's Survivor, man. That's Survivor.
I just feel like America is supposed to be used ironically, and it's being used here unironically.
You think it's like a sincere that Mike is as sincere in his embrace of America as he, or America as he is in his insane tattoo. It is kind of like his tattoo. Like, discuss, like, is Mike's tribe name like his tattoo?
I don't know. I think, all right, we're burying the lead quite a bit here, Stephen Fishback. All right, let's just set up here. Of course, we're live on robhaswebsite.com. We've got the chat room going, very lively chat room debate already tonight, because there's so many different things to unpack from this episode. We are going to be taking your tweets also in this show, hashtag RHAP, and then also on our YouTube channel at robhaswebsite.com/YouTube. Okay, of course, as we do every week, I will speak with the latest person kicked off of Survivor. That will be Kelly will be my guest on the exit interview. And I will have to ask her what it was like to be hit over the head not once but twice this season. Boy, what a blindside this was. Yeah. And then I will do a very special recap podcast this week. I will be joined by Stephen Fishback's favorite Bushkowskis brother.
Oh, Vetus.
Vetus. Vetus, you should totally come to the studio tomorrow. So
What was that soundbite?
Vetus, you should totally come to yoga.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And then I will be taking your voicemails with RHAP fan favorite. Bryce Isaiah will be doing the voicemails with me this week. So get your voicemails in for the talk of the town this week with Bryce Isaiah. Send those into robhaswebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP. All right, Stephen, what a fantastic episode here. And there's so much good play to talk about, so much bad play to talk about.
Is there bad play?
Yes.
Like, I think there's only one person who's playing badly.
Who is that?
I think Will.
Will. Okay. Let's start there with Will.
Start with Will.
You brought him up. What in the hell is Will thinking that he's been with his no collar group the whole way through, and then he gets sweet talked by Rodney to leave his alliance? Tell me what is he doing, Stephen?
I mean, to be fair to Will, and maybe I take back what I said 30 seconds ago, which was that Will is not playing well. Will joined the majority alliance, right? Look how the votes came down in that tribal council.
Okay.
Right. Four were for Jen. One was, Will's was for Haley. And then four were for Kelly. One was for Haley. And all the rest were for Jen. So
that's fair.
Jen is going home. And she's going home in a landslide. So, kudos to Mike, kudos to Blue Collar for creating this massive alliance. Will joined the winning side. He just joined the winning side badly.
Okay. Let me just then go to Mike, who I think makes a curious decision this week, that the target this week is Joe, which I said, and I believe you said the same thing, that it made all the sense in the world for the target last week to be Joe before you went into the merge. But instead, he picks off Joaquin, who was only a threat in that he felt like was stealing Rodney away from him. But now Joe gets to the merge. He wins the first immunity challenge after the merge. A challenge that you yourself played, Stephen, the first challenge after the merge in Survivor Token Chains. And I believe that not only did you play in it, I believe you were also the first one down out of the challenge.
Was Joe not the first one? Was I before Joe?
I'm not sure.
I might have been before Joe.
I think you might have been before Joe.
The first one down. Yeah. I had an injured elbow, so I couldn't hold on. I'd injured my elbow, so I had a good excuse. I was worried about injuring it more. I'm very delicate.
Yeah, but so that being said, now again, it becomes full-fledged blue collar versus no collar this week. And now Mike is targeting Joe when he had Mike's neck on the chopping block last week, to which he deferred and voted with Joe to take out Joaquin, who in the scheme of things seems like so much less of a threat than Joe ultimately is.
Well, I mean, I think you want Joe at the merge, right? You want that guy who's going to be everyone's focal point. You want that guy who everyone is going to be like, we got to get this guy out. He's too athletic. He's too handsome. He's too charming. His hair is too great. I think Joe's win in this challenge actually is going to be great for Mike, because it's going to keep Joe, all the attention on Joe. You know, if Mike took out Joe now, what's the threat of the no callers? It's like Jen and Haley, who are buddies. Will's already flip sides. Mike needs a target for him to like focus his alliance against. It's great for him that Joe won the immunity.
I don't know about that. That seems like a stretch, Steven.
It's like Spencer. The comparison, I mean, let's do it. It's like to Spencer for Tony. You know, you've got this like young, charming, athletic guy who keeps winning challenges, takes the heat off you.
So you feel like it was a mistake when he was trying to target him before the immunity challenge? Oh, no. Then?
I think that was the right move. I just think it worked out actually. Like, obviously he loses his number one ally, but I think in like the long sense of the game, I actually think this might help him.
Okay. How about this from Mike's game? And then we'll talk about it from the perspective of Jen and the no collars.
Yeah.
So Mike's plan here is that they are going to test Will. That Rodney thinks he has Will. Mike doesn't trust him. Ultimately, they did have Will. He did vote and do what they told him to do. And he tells him to vote for Haley, even though the votes ultimately came to Jen. And kudos to Jen, because I thought that maybe where they were going to get slipped up, I thought that Will was going to spill the beans and be like a double agent and
tell
Jen and Haley like, hey guys, they're voting for Haley tonight. And then Jen gave her idol to Haley. I was holding my breath when Jen went up to play the idol. I thought she was going to play it for Haley.
I was worried she was going to get play it for Haley too.
Yes. But instead she ends up playing it for herself. Will wasn't a mole. He was sincere and working with Rodney and on board with this crazy Rodney plan that he wants to enact at the final seven. So that being said, is it a smart idea for Mike to pull a move a la Boston Rob in Survivor Redemption Island by telling Philip Shepard, hey, Philip, are you going to vote tonight for the person I touch on the shoulder, and who's not actually the person that's going home, but Boston Rob is testing Philip? Do you like this idea of what Mike did by telling Will the wrong person to vote for a tribal council as a test?
I mean, why tell the wrong person? Like, what? I mean, I guess the idea is like you don't really know whose vote is for whom unless there's some sort of like indicator, and that indicator is for Will is that Aaron Haley vote. What about the split vote though here, Rob? Like, you're not a fan of the split vote. Well,
can we just talk through the Will thing?
Will, I mean, I don't mind it. You think because the result is like, in the best case, Will feels out of the loop, right? You're trying to loop Will in,
right?
And you're actually isolating him because he's going to vote for this guy. He's going to see that nobody else did, and he's going to be like, "What the heck? I like put my loyalty on the line for you guys, and you kind of led me out, hung me out to dry." Yeah, I don't love that. If you want to try to include someone, you try to include them.
Yeah. I think with the Boston Rob thing, the way it worked there was because Boston Rob was holding all the cards there in the pre-merge of that season, I think on the Ometepe tribe, and Philip had nowhere else to go. And then that endeared Philip to Boston Rob in that moment. I know next week then Mike can potentially say to Will like, okay, you passed the test. You're on the team now, America. But I feel like Will's going to say, hey, like, I did what you guys told me to do.
Yeah.
Not cool.
And it's interesting. And this is like a situation where there's so many different factions, right?
Yes.
You don't just have blue collar, no collar. You got the white collar faction. You know, Shireen is off doing her own thing. You've got Rodney's little side faction. There's a lot going on here. And I really, really love this episode because I love this season because I think there's every single person is out there playing. They're all playing their hearts out. There are no Jeffras on this season. Everyone is making moves. Everyone is cutting throats, and some are doing it better than others, but they're all hustling.
Yeah, I really did. That came through the TV screen for me there. Like those 12 people sitting there at that tribal council they're all sort of like, hey, let's see what's going to happen here. And it's really exciting, yeah. Especially coming after last season, where there were people there to play last season, but you know, it wasn't like popping off the screen.
Right.
You know, every single person there
Dud on this season. I don't even think there's been a dud yet. I don't think there's one person who hasn't been like, you know, like we all, you know, I think Nina was a little bit boring, but she was still aggressive.
Yeah. No, I feel like the 12 people that were there, everybody was playing hard tonight, and I think it's going to make for a very fun home stretch here. Can you believe it? The seventh episode. This is about the halfway point here, and I think there's going to be a lot of exciting Survivor left to go. All right, let's talk about the perspective of the no collar people. And right. Steven, of course, last week on the show, we made a interesting wager about for the championship of the knowing is know it all. And you put all your eggs in the blue collar basket.
I'm feeling great about that.
You're feeling great. You know? It was a terrible night for the blue collar tribe.
I couldn't disagree with
it
you.
It was
more.
A horrible night for the blue collar tribe.
Look how the votes came down. You know, like you all episode was about this scramble, right? You've got this no collar team against, you know, you got Jen against Mike, right? Who can win over the most votes? Who's going to get Will? Who's going to get Shireen? Who's going to get Carolyn and Tyler? Mike got everybody except Shireen. Mike even got Will. Jen only got Shireen. So Mike has created this like giant alliance. Yes, he lost one person and granted his closest ally from an idling, but like now what for Mike? You know, or I'm sorry, now what for the no callers? You know, they don't have the numbers. What are they gonna do now? They don't have the idol anymore.
Interesting. I do think that Mike potentially drove Will right back into the arms of the no collar people.
But are they going to take him? You know, like they're not, are they going to say, you know, come on
you're
back
right.
after you?
Yeah. You're right. So at like seemingly on paper, if you look at it, the way that the votes went down tonight, we're headed into next week's episode. There's 11 people left in the game. The no collars plus Shireen is 4. And seemingly if maybe Will is back in up for grabs, if he goes back over, that's 6-5. So basically you would need one person to come over and switch. So does Tyler and Carolyn, who got a lot of airtime tonight, Steven,
I was worried at the beginning when Tyler got the airtime. I was like, oh no. Cause you know, Tyler's one of my favorites, the possibility and Carolyn too, the possibility of either of them going home, but it turned out just cause they turned out to be just these decisive players.
You really had to love, I know you're always looking at the edit, great edit tonight for the tandem of Carolyn and Tyler.
Yeah. And it's just such a great, you know, it's a great, it's like one more faction. I just loved it, you know, and the other thing I loved, and sorry to be jumping all over the place here. It's just, there's so much going on in this episode and I'm, you know, I got this little pea brain. I can only process so many things. Was that, this idea that the power couples are being targeted now. And, you know, I think that for many seasons, we've seen power couples run the game. You know, it certainly was the case with, you know, for me personally, but yes. Like, you know, many, many other times, you know, you had like Todd and Amanda in China. You had, you know, Boston, Rob and Amber, let's say. You had, you know, Chelsea and Kim. I mean, there's so many times when you have these strong two people who by the power, you know, are able to sort of dominate. And I think it's a step in the evolution of Survivor that now these guys are saying, hey, we know power couples are dangerous. Let's split up the power couples. Like, this is a real next step in strategy.
Well, it's a great point that you make because this has been the season where anybody who is identified as a pair has been split up almost immediately. And there's a few exceptions. Jen and Haley have not been split up, but Jen was certainly the target of the vote tonight. We saw Mike and Kelly split up tonight. We saw So and Joaquin split up. We saw Lindsay and Sierra split up this season. We saw the bromance split up. So time after time, we've seen this season where a pair is targeted and somebody from that pair ends up going home. And so tonight, then Mike and Kelly ultimately get split up. And I think that it's a great point that you make. And I'm sure that you know so much about this from your season, which I watched very recently. And I know that nobody was saying, hey, we got to split up the power couple of JT and Steven.
Right. Cause you don't, you know, it just seems like two friends. And now that people are like, you know, those two are too close. They're going to be always together. We can't have that. I think it's a really interesting change. And I mean, I hope it persists. I hope it's a sort of thing that people are constantly on the lookout for now, because it just complicates the game. And, you know, throughout this podcast, we've been saying that all this whole season, this is the most self-aware, season yes. yet. And I think that's, you know, what are some other, sorry, what are there other examples of that offhand?
What, power couples?
Just self-aware, how self-aware this season is.
Oh, I mean, well, I mean, you have an incredibly, you know, again, I don't know if this is self-aware or at least meta of, you know, Max and Shireen, who are another sure. power couple that were split up this season. But it does seem like there's so many people that just know the game particularly well. Steven, do you have any good JT stories that you could share with us?
Just if ever?
No, from this week.
Oh, from the bachelor party.
Yeah. So, but just to set this up, Steven recently was reunited with his longtime BFF, JT, to go to JT's bachelor party. Mazel tov to JT, right?
Yeah. They're getting married in a couple of weeks, and I'll be officiating.
In all seriousness?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're gonna do it. Wow.
Yeah.
Another Token Sheen's wedding.
I know, and I'm gonna bless all the Token Sheen's couples.
Wow. Yeah. You didn't do Coach's wedding.
Yeah, it's true. And Joe Dowdle, I think, got me. It was lovely. A lot of country. It was basically like nine solid country dudes and this like anxious New Yorker kind of off to the side. And I think they like all sort of were delighted that it was just kind of this like weird oddity that in their life.
Yes. Well, that's very fun. Okay. Let's talk about Jen, because I have a feeling you're not going to tell us any good stories from JT's bachelor party. So we'll skip that. And
so Jen, big moment for Jen.
What a night for Jen. What a night.
Stung on the lady parts.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And there's.
I tweeted that. I think she has bee stung lips.
All right.
No? Anyone? No.
Too soon. Too soon.
Family.
Yes. Party. Okay. We'll go. And for that, you deserve a.
Just shut up, man.
Yes. But anyway, so that was such a great moment during that challenge. And I really thought that this was a fantastic immunity challenge that just was like, there was drama, there was moments. Yeah. Jeff
started pouring, like what, like perfect timing for that.
Perfect timing. Yeah, it was like that challenge last season on San Juan del Sur. Where, you know, Wes was asking Jeff Probst about being naked with the bacon and Reed and Natalie were going mano a mano for such a long time. But it was just such a funny moment when Jeff asks Jen, where did you get stung? She's like, where my hand is, Jeff. So great. So kudos, though, to Jen for knowing that moment to play the hidden immunity idol. She said, I don't want to go home tonight.
Yeah, that's a hard one. That's a hard, it's a hard thing. You know, if you've got the idol and I've been in a position where I have the idol and you know, you think you feel safe. I mean, but Jen didn't feel safe, right? Jen knew that a lot was up in the air and a lot was riding on this vote. I think if you have the idol at that moment and you're at all uncertain, you got to play the idol.
Yeah, no, don't go home with it. Play it. It is a good chance you could find it again if that is the case. And so, you know, in an era where they mint idols, play it. If there's any doubt in your mind, I say better to go. And again, it's a, you know, you don't want to waste it ever, but you can live to tell the story of the time that you misplayed your idol as opposed to going home with it in your pocket. So, kudos to Jen. Are you coming around on Jen as a potential, winner chicken dinner this season?
I had Jen as a winner.
Yes.
And I still think she's got potential, but I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to like play with you, Rob. I'm not going to like pretend that I think you have a chance of being the knowingest know-it-all. This is, I thought this episode was a Mike runaway. You know, he had so much airtime in this episode that I was sure he was going home. And then when he didn't go home, I was like, well, there's two options here. Either he wins the game or he's gone this episode.
Let's talk about Mike's relationship with Rodney. And Rodney is almost a la Natalie last season at the point where Jeremy gets voted out. I believe it was at the final 10. She was like, okay, I'm going to go back and work with Missy and John Mish and all those guys, but I'm going to secretly, then I'm going to burn them and make them pay for what they did to Jeremy.
Right.
And Rodney is like, you know, burnt up about this whole Joaquin thing. And he comes up with this plan where he's going to still vote with the blue collar people. He's going to bring in sort of a, he's going to bring in, who is it? Carolyn, Kelly, and Will.
Will,
which just seems so random to me that how does Rodney know Carolyn from anybody? I guess that she brings in Will and Kelly, who then abandoned the no collar thing, which I thought that they had a good thing going with the no collar. I'm very surprised to see Carolyn come over, but Tyler isn't included in this. Don't you think, wasn't this such a weird grouping?
It was the weirdest foursome. And, you know, obviously they're all sort of like from their perspective, they're like, yeah, sure. I'm in your final four. That's great. Like one other person who's telling me they're taking me to the end. Like, of course I'm going to agree to that. And you can even see it in their eyes when they're all kind of walking together. They're like, okay, yeah, why not? But for Rodney to choose these people. Like, I guess he was with Kelly at a certain point, but he was with Will. Was he ever with Will?
No.
No, he's never played with Will, and he's never played with Carolyn. So, like, where does he get the idea that maybe in his mind, he's like, I'm going to assemble a cross-tribal alliance, right? Because then you've got someone with an ear to the ground in each tribe. And maybe he thinks these are the easiest people for him to beat. You know, he sees like the big guy and the older lady, and it's like, well, I can beat them. Like, I'm just trying to like imagine why these three people.
It's like a modern day exile alliance, Stephen.
It really is.
I would love to know from Kelly tomorrow. I'll ask her this question. Did Kelly tell Mike about what Rodney is up to? Because we saw how close that Kelly and Mike were throughout this season. Did she tell Mike what Rodney was up to?
That's interesting. That is really, because we've really only seen we've seen Kelly largely through Mike's eyes, you know, as his number one, his ally. You know, I think, and whenever we hear Kelly talk, you know, she certainly says she trusts Mike, but it's more like, I want to be with the blue collars. Do you think she feels as like strongly bonded to Mike as Mike feels bonded to her?
I mean, she said, you know, as so much, you know, I played the clip on the podcast last week where
I never trusted someone more in my life.
Yes. Yeah. I never trusted anybody more in my life. She even said tonight about how she went deep undercover, but she's blue collar until the end. And she just needed to get back with Mike. And we saw her right after the merge happened where she was carrying stuff with Mike, and Jen and Haley said, yeah, we don't have Kelly. But what they did have, they lost Kelly and they lost Will seemingly tonight. But what they gained was Shireen. Who is coming on strong now after this merge, Stephen. That she was at her lowest point. The nadir of the Shireen point edit this season was at when her and Max Dawson were in the contest of who's the most annoying survivor. But she pulled through. And now she is going to be somebody who I think is going to make some noise in the post-merge game.
Well, we were certainly saying this, right? We were saying this last week that we thought that, you know, Shireen could go deep, you know, once she got to the merge, and she's, you know, obviously willing to jump around, and, you know, no one is more excited to play Survivor than Shireen, you know, just based on her excitement to pee on Dan's leg. Could you like her, the tone of her voice, she's like, can I pee on it? She now, could not.
Does like, that work on a bee sting also?
Exactly. Just get pee on anything.
Yeah,
you know, it's funny, like Jim Rice on your podcast was saying that he thought that Shireen was going to be the merge boot, which, you know, you obviously disagreed with. And I also disagree with, because it looks like she's going to go deep now.
Yeah, I mean, I disagreed with Jim's take on that. I mean, that is just not traditionally who gets voted out at the merge at Survivor. It's not the Shireen of the world.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's also, to be fair, not the Kellys of the world.
That's fair. Interestingly, that they decided to target Kelly and not Mike.
Why Kelly, not like Mike? Yeah. Why do that?
I don't know. Were they burnt up that they felt like that Kelly left us? Was it sort of a revenge thing?
Or it could be.
Did Joe talk them out of Mike after Joe had a relationship with Mike coming out of that and said, no, I think maybe I can work with Mike? Or did they feel like, is Mike making his own mess right now that he's going to be a target no matter what? Kelly's the one that's going to be under the radar.
Right. Maybe they thought Kelly was a sleeper. Like, let's leave Mike around, which, you know, again, like, what an interesting world we live in where like the big dudes are kept around because they're bigger targets. You know, like that's the opposite to traditional Survivor play where you go after the big guys because they're threats. But again, like it's like the Tony Vlachos school, keep the threats around and get rid of the floaters.
What do you think of Shireen at Tribal Council tonight? Where we both feel like Shireen's in this great position. But she audibly, you know, is excited when the votes are coming for Jen and there's high fives. And she says in the vote tonight at Tribal Council, I don't think I'm a swing vote. You know, she firmly plants herself as a member of the no collar people and adopted.
Yeah, and she like interrupts Jeff to say that.
Yes. An adopted bastard of the no collar tribe. Now, yeah. Did you like that she says, you know, I'm with these guys basically ride or die until the end? Or do you feel like, is that a mistake that she should keep herself more as a free agent?
That's interesting. I mean, it's like the opposite of the Sandra strategy, right? And the Sandra strategy is a winning strategy. So, I mean, I guess you don't want, I mean, I guess I didn't think about it. You know, I thought it was like kind of bold. I thought it was pretty bold that she, you know, made that statement. And I think that did show loyalty and like maybe like deepened her bond with the no-caller tribe. But again, like that alliance is losing. That no-caller alliance is like they've got the minority numbers. And granted, like we don't know what Tyler and Carolyn are going to do next week. We don't know what Will is going to do next week. You know, someone just tweeted at me, you know, Tyler and Carolyn are committed to being swingers. But I liked that, like I didn't like it, I guess. I didn't think about it. But now that I'm thinking about it, I didn't love it.
Okay. And one more thing before we get to taking some questions. Tyler and Carolyn, do you think that they overplayed their hand, Tyler specifically, to go and basically say to Mike, okay, well, I appreciate what you guys are doing, but I don't know if I could trust you guys. I need to go out there and sort of field other offers. Right. Did you like him being that upfront about what he was doing and that open about this negotiation? Or is the right move to say yes to Mike and also say yes to the no-collar people and not really let them know, okay, well, all right, let me consider this. Let me go and see if I can beat this offer. And if not, I'll come back and I'll stick with you guys.
You know what? Like in the moment, you know, I see what you're saying. I think probably I would have been played it like, yeah, of course I'm with you guys. And then gone to the other guys and like, yeah, of course I'm with you guys. But you know, it seems like people are kind of drifting away from that this season, right? Where people are really sort of declaring themselves. And I did kind of like the way Tyler played it. I really liked that he was both understated and sort of aggressive. He was just straight up said, you got to make me a good offer for me to stick with you. Because I think, you know, Tyler and Carolyn are in this really interesting position right now where there's two of them. They're a decisive voting faction now between these two alliances, but they also like they don't want to be on the bottom of the alliance. You know, they need to negotiate a great deal for themselves. They don't want to be fifth and sixth on either side. So I love that Tyler was like, "You've got to really bring me in if you want me in. You can't just like sort of play me along like they're doing with Will." And we saw what happened with Will, right? So I think you saw that difference in attitude where Will's like, "Great, I'll do whatever," versus Tyler's like, "I need to be a part of this if I'm going to be a part of it." So I did like that.
You know what I think is maybe an underreported story at this hour is I think that Carolyn and Kelly had a bond. And I think Kelly going back to blue collar was a selling point for Carolyn. And right. I wonder if not having Kelly in the mix other than Carolyn's relationship with Rodney and I guess Will, who was with them, I mean, you could see a defection, I think, of Will and Carolyn and by proxy Tyler all come running back to no collar next week. So I think that those three votes are very much in play and not necessarily as tight of a 7-4 split. I see that's the thing. I don't think that this vote was with a knife or with a chainsaw or with an ice pick.
I think just we're getting carried away, right? Like, calm down, everybody. It was just a freaking vote. And, Jeff was like, you know what it is? It's a bomb. And then, you know, he's like, I'll bet like everyone is like, goes back to camp and is like, wouldn't it be cool if I had said it was a falling piano? You know, like if everyone had kind of like been like,
yeah, but I don't see it like that. I don't see it like that. Okay, well, now it's going to be, especially in the way that this season is formatted. I don't think that there's going to be one, you know, divided line, you know, down the middle. Like, I don't know what the better metaphor is going to be for what this is, because I think that you will see people potentially, you know, flip back and forth and create a new grouping going forward. I mean, there's still 11 people out there.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's and you're right. A lot of real factions in play, you know, Rodney's faction too. Like maybe, and Rodney is like adamant about, what is Rodney adamant about? He doesn't want to be
pattying.
yeah. Sunday,
picking up girls.
Yeah. He doesn't want to be, Mike's second fiddle. He wants to be the one in charge, you know, and I think that's what it comes down to for Rodney, is he wants to be the one calling the shots.
Yes. And by calling the shots, you mean Jaeger. Yeah. Goldschlager. Yeah,
exactly.
So, all right, let's get to taking some questions here with Stephen Fishback here live on Survivor Know-It-Alls. Scott St. Pierre is on assignment. Brendan Noel is producing the show for us tonight and pulling your questions. Thank you, Brendan. And let's go ahead and get fired up. Here is the first question here from Zach Mitchell, Stephen.
All right. Zach Mitchell wants to know, do you like good TV? That was good TV. When's the last time we've seen an idol played that effectively? It's a good question, because there's a lot of idol talk, and this was, you know, in a lot of idol play, this was a pretty decisive moment. You know, it was just as these two alliances are forming up. You've got this one alliance that looks like it's about to wipe out the other. And Jen plays her idol. She saves herself, and she might undo Mike's alliance. What do you think? When is the last time we've seen anything like this, Rob?
I think the last time we did something like this, I feel like it has to have been during the San Juan del Sur finale, when Natalie plays the idol for Jacqueline, right?
So not that long ago.
Not that long ago. I mean, I want to make sure I'm remembering it. I'm remembering it correctly. But we do all want good TV.
You want good TV? Does everybody want good TV?
Yes. That's, we all want that. But I believe that's, I believe that's correct.
And when John Mish played his idol as well.
Yes, John Mish played the idol as well.
It was a crucial moment, right? Natalie whispered, like, hey, John, play your idol.
Yes. Yeah. And I think it had been a while since then, right? I think then.
I don't know, but Tony was all about that. Did Tony ever like play the super idol, or did he just pretend?
No,
to
he
play?
Pretended to do it. And then I feel like, and then Penner also in Survivor Philippines as well had a big moment like that. Okay. Let's take this question from Travis Harad, who says, was it the right move to take out Kelly rather than a prominent threat like Mike or Rodney? We touched on this a little bit. Steven, what would you have done if you were in the position of the no collar people?
I probably would have gone for the leader, right? You cut off the head of the snake. You get rid of Mike, and then the alliance falls apart, right? Mike's the one who's looping in Rodney. Mike's the one who's looping in Tyler. Mike's the one who's, you know, sort of cementing it with Will, even though, you know, Rodney has that sort of alliance. So I would have gone for Mike, because he seems to be the sort of smooth talker. He's also the one who you know, brought Sierra back into the fold last week. That said, I'm kind of like the idea of like all of these, like the alpha dogs being left around as targets.
Yeah. I think it's interesting. I think I would still agree with that. Mike would be the person that I would target if I were them, just because, not only is he a physical threat in the challenges, but also he does seem to be the ringleader. Where is Sierra without Mike? Where is Dan without Mike? What is Rodney doing if Mike isn't reeling him in? So I do feel like you create more chaos by getting rid of Mike for all of those people on the blue collar side.
Yeah, I think so too. And that, I mean, that's sort of what happened in Heroes versus Villains with Boston Rob, right? Boston Rob was in charge of this majority alliance with Coach and Jerry and Courtney and Sandra and Tyson. And then they voted. Well, it was Tyson actually.
I thought Tyson was the glue.
Yeah, Tyson was the glue, and they vote out Tyson, and the whole thing falls apart. In fact, it was Tyson, because Jerry and Sandra didn't like Rob. So I'm sorry, Jerry and Coach. So they vote out Tyson, and then the whole thing falls apart.
Oh man, that happens every time Tyson gets voted out.
Exactly. Really,
he's always
really
the glue. He's
always and then when he doesn't get voted out, he wins.
He wins.
I guess that's what happens.
Okay. What about this question from Curtis?
Curtis Wang wants to know, with there being no idol on Joe, Jen, Haley, and Shireen's side, is America's favorite alliance screwed for next week? Also, when is the big twist coming into play? What do you think, Rob?
Wait, now hold on. So America's favorite alliance, are we talking about the tribe or the country? I think the country. Do you think that the no-collar people are screwed next week? No, I don't think that they're screwed, because I don't think that an idol necessarily bails them out. But I think that they've got to now work on some of these people. I think that Will's vote is up for grabs. I think that, you know, you have other people like Carolyn and Tyler, who by their very nature as swing votes could go anywhere they want.
Do you think there's like a momentum factor too, where like if you pull off a coup like this, suddenly you're like, you know, cock of the walk when you go back to camp and everyone kind of is like, oh, that's so awesome. Maybe we should team up sometime.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's something that we talked about when we did the 49 Laws of Survivor of, yeah. you know, make, what is it, make compelling spectacles. And that's.
You really remember these laws quite well. Well, for me, it was like in my mouth and gone. In one ear, through the.
We talked about it, and especially like some of the things that Russell Hantz does, and he makes these big moves, and then people want to work with him.
They want to work with him, and they're scared of him because, like, you know, if you pull that stuff off, you seem untouchable.
Yeah, and while it did not work out that way for Malcolm on Survivor Karamoan, where he makes that big move with the three amigos, and it wasn't like people were like jumping to his side. I think that there is something to that, like, oh man, that was awesome. And I think that maybe people who are the swing votes, it'll ultimately come down to, I think, what Tyler and Carolyn want to do, wherever they want to go. And I think that what's not working in their favor is the lack of a relationship between Joe and Tyler. And I feel like that it looked like at one point that those guys were going to be working together, but we see nothing that shows me that Joe and Tyler have a relationship together. And I don't know who Tyler has a relationship with other than Carolyn.
And it was a huge draw ball, obviously, for Joaquin and Tyler both to not really firm up Joe. And I still don't understand why not. Like, you know, maybe you asked this of Joaquin. I don't think I saw it in any of his interviews. Why not firm up Joe? You know, I think I saw him say somewhere like he regretted not doing that. But like, obviously, he regrets that.
They thought he was a threat. They just looked at him like he was going to be a threat.
He's a threat, but like, you know, he's a vote, a toss shield, you know.
Yeah. I don't know. All right. What about Ryan Noakes? What does Ryan have to say?
Ryan Noakes has to say, should the fishy in this episode go to Boston Rod? He actually secured Will, and I believe his bond with Joaquin had a lot to do with Tyler joining Blue. No. No. What do you think, though? Do you think how crucial was Rodney here in the way this vote came down?
I think that he was certainly a part of it. I mean, that Mike scoffed that whether Rodney had Will, but I guess he did. I don't really know what those guys exactly had in common that they were able to make that work, other than, you know, Will works at a bar and Rodney likes to drink. I don't know.
Doesn't Rodney only like, there must be some East Coast connection because Rodney only teams up with people from the East Coast.
Well, I mean, Bon Jovi is from New Jersey and that's an East Coast sort of band. And so we'll like to sing Bon Jovi. So I don't know. But that being said, I think that Rodney did have a decent night tonight. I mean, he did pull in Rodney into this. He did pull in Will. Into this wacky sort of, you know, final seven plan. But that being said, I think there's only one way that you can go with the fishy tonight.
You know what? I'm going to surprise you tomorrow.
Oh.
Yeah. Because I think Mike, because I'm not giving it to Mike. Mm. I do think Mike, though, had a better, I think both Mike and Jen deserve fishies. As well as some other people who played the game. So I think that Mike had a really good night tonight. But, you know,
what are you giving Mike a fishy for?
I'm not giving Mike the fishy. Well,
why is he in the mix? Why is he in the mix? You can't tell me why he's in the mix?
Because I think that like Mike built this alliance. Like Jen won the vote. And for her, like her big moment was playing the idol, saving herself. But she lost the bigger battle, which was how do you create a working alliance out of these, you know, misfit groups. And Mike did that. And I think that's really where survivor strategy comes down. You know, like any Hans can play an idol, but like you actually have to be a strategist to like build an alliance.
Okay. We'll see.
Jen failed at that, right? Like I thought Jen, you know, Jen, like she was trying to pull in the same people Mike was and she didn't.
Yeah, I know. But you know, it's early at final 12 in this spot last year. It looked as though Josh and Reed had, you know, pulled together a majority alliance at final 12. Then Julie quits. Then at final 11, it looked like Jeremy Collins put together an alliance that was going to carry the day. So just having the numbers at this stage in the game doesn't mean a whole hell of a lot.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. These things switch quickly. But I guess that's also what I really like about Mike is that he has this ability to to bring people over to him, to get people onto his side, you know. And he's done it repeatedly with Rodney. He did it with Sierra. You know, he did it this week with Tyler. Like, he's, you know, maybe people will flip back, but I think long term, Mike has this skill in sweet talking.
Yeah. Who is Mike's closest ally now that Kelly is gone?
Sierra? Dan. No, Dan. Obviously Dan, right?
Dan. Okay.
Dan.
And do you want Dan as your closest ally?
I think
is that a good thing?
Yeah. You just don't want him apologizing to anybody. Just so long as he doesn't have to apologize, you're okay.
Was Dan's whatever sea urchin bite or whatever, was that the stingray?
No, I mean jellyfish.
Sure. I mean, was that just a complete misdirection? I mean, that had nothing to do with the story other than
I swear that was just there for the Shireen peeing line. Like, that bite was only in the show for because of the excitement that Shireen showed when she asked to pee on it and the disappointment in her voice when Dan said that he didn't want her to pee on it. He's like, oh, yeah. She was upset.
Yes.
I think that's because she's a huge Survivor fan, you know, like, and that's a big moment when, who pees on John Carroll? Like Pascal or something?
Pascal tries. He can't do it. Kathy is the one that does.
Oh, he's got performance anxiety.
Yes. Yes. It's a tough spot to be in. It's a tough spot.
It's a classic Survivor moment. And I think Shireen wanted to just like Max, you know, she wanted to be part of a classic Survivor moment.
Yeah. And I'm sure wherever Max Dawson is watching Survivor tonight, when Jen is saying like, Dan, put your foot in the pot. Max is like, don't do it, Dan. It's a trap. It's a trap.
Or like, clean your foot first.
All right. Mark Stabation wants to know, was it good for Shireen to say that she isn't a swing vote, thus putting more pressure on the actual swing votes? You addressed this. You said you didn't like it. I'd have to say I didn't love it, but I don't hate it either, because I mean, for Shireen, she doesn't have a lot of cards to play. I mean, she could swear up and down, I am no collar, I am part of this no collar tribe. And if things go bad for the no collar tribe and somebody else needs a vote, I think that she'd have no hesitation to switching to the other side.
Right. But I guess you want to declare your loyalty and then you can sort of change your loyalty. But, you know, why not play it? But then aren't you pissing people off? Like, isn't that what Sandra does? Is she avoids pissing people off because she's got a set strategy, which is anybody but me.
Oh, I disagree. I think that she has no problem pissing people off.
Sandra
Diaz Twine. Yes.
Well, right. She doesn't mind. Right. But
she'll tell off Johnny Fairplay. She'll tell off Sean Cohen. Right, she'll tell off Russell Hance. She'll tell off Coach.
But in terms of you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. But her strategy, strategically, she's not betraying anybody, because strategically she's saying, I'm always going just with myself. And it doesn't, it doesn't matter. It doesn't, right. She's never going to betray someone. Whereas if Shireen says, I'm with you guys, and then she's like, you know what, I'm going to be with them now, then she's going to make them mad about that.
I mean, I think there's times where Sandra has given her, I don't think that Sandra is as binary as we make her out to be of anybody but, sure, anybody but me, but she makes an alliance with Rupert and Krista, and then gets pissed off when Rupert gets blindsided. And she has an alliance with, with Boston Rob, and is pissed when, things go against her way. So I don't think she's just totally like, hey, whatever anybody wants to do, I'm up for. She does at times say that, but I think she also does have loyalties in the game too.
Well, she has loyalties, but that's exactly the point. Like, by masking it under this idea of anybody me, like, you know, she'll be loyal. She'll be, and she'll be intensely loyal. Right. But she'll sort of put it under this umbrella, so no one can count on her loyalty or be upset.
That being said, we could do a whole podcast on the intricacies of Sandra's game, and whether it's good or whether it's not. But let's jump back into a couple more of these questions. Cool Blue 71 says, if the final three are castaways having originated in separate tribes, who do you imagine they will be?
Good question.
Very, very open-ended. So, Steven, give me your final three, one person from each group.
All right, let's say Mike, Jen, although I kind of think Haley is going to make it. Mike, Jen, and Carolyn?
Carolyn, ooh.
But that's who I think, strategy-wise. If I had to go edit, I would say, Mike, Haley, and I don't know. I mean, Sheree? No, I'm going to go Mike, Jen, and Carolyn.
Mike, Jen, and Carolyn. Yeah, it's. I mean, just hard to imagine that configuration happening. I'll try to give you I'll try to give you a more practical final three from across the tribes. How about go with like Haley, Shireen, and Sierra?
Yeah. I see that. I just don't see Sierra like making it to the end, to be honest with you.
But she could be the person that gets no votes in the end. I mean, I don't know who would win in that scenario.
I see. I mean, I think Haley has like so many weird confessionals, like her thing about the Constitution today. Like what was going on?
That was
weird.
That was odd. That was an odd confessional between that, between the America tribe flag and the Constitution.
What a strange, interesting group this is. And like what is getting stung with jellyfish right and left, peeing on each other, and
bee stings in the private parts.
What a weird, great episode.
Yes. What a April Fool's prank, Survivor's playing on us. Okay. Andrew Music 88 says, are the Survivor gods making up for Drew Christie's early exit last season by letting Rodney go deeper in the game? This season has been great, and Rodney's scheming is phenomenal TV. Yes, thank you to Lynn Spillman and the Survivor Gods for giving us Rodney.
Rodney is an amazing character, he's a really good player too. Like, maybe that's an overstatement. He is a decent player. He is making moves in this game, and it's fun to watch.
Yeah. Rodney is a little bit like if you crossed Tony Vlachos with The Situation.
That's a good comparison.
Like he's gonna play fast. Yeah, he's gonna play fast, but he's also gonna like be diluted with the situation.
Yeah. That's good. Like he's got like Tony's like quick moves, but like sort of like a total lack of human like reads. Like he can't read people.
Yeah. Or books.
Or yeah. Scott Grimes wants to know, Rob, do good merge episodes promise good seasons?
No, that is not the case. That merge episodes are no indicator of future performance because there are seasons with great merge episodes. Survivor South Pacific comes to mind, where you have the great merge episode where Cochran ends up flipping, and then you end up with a sort of ho-hum second half of the season. I feel like Survivor traditionally has really great merge episodes, but
yeah, the merge is always a great, it's like a typically where everything sort of comes to a head. What stands out about this season is that the pre-merge episodes have been great. The merge episode was great. And we really, I mean, it looks like we're in for a great post-merge as well.
Yeah. You have in Survivor Redemption Island, I believe the merge episode is the great episode where Matt Elrod comes back into the game and gets voted out for the second time. And that's right. Not a
terrible, terrible season. Great episode.
Yeah. So a lot of times you will have a great merge episode, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it will be a great rest of the season, but it doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm trying to think of the season with a lame merge episode. For the most part, they're all pretty good. I'm sure that we can come up with some, but merge episode always very exciting.
Maybe Nicaragua. I don't remember the merge episode. I feel like in Nicaragua was
that one. Yeah, I couldn't tell you about the merge episode from Nicaragua.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to Havish. Havish Patel says, "Do you think No Collar will find out that Will voted against them, and do you think that White Collar will switch sides?" I think that they'll definitely find out that.
Yeah.
Like, somebody didn't vote with us.
One of the votes was not red, right? But like, even if they assume that Shireen voted with them, they know that Will didn't, right?
Yes. The votes
in the seating too. Like,
yeah,
Will was seated away from them. Like, you know, Joe, Jen, Haley, and Shireen were all seated next to each other, and then Will was like on the other side. Like, maybe be a little bit more subtle, Survivor seating for like arrangers.
Yeah. So the way that the votes went were first vote was Haley. That was the Will vote.
From Will, yeah.
Okay, and then the votes come in Jen, 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 Jen. So then seven Jen votes and then Kelly, Kelly, Kelly. The last vote was obviously the fourth Kelly from the from the No Collar group. Now, Steven, I think that this the vote stack here, which I always like to look at, is telling to me. In that production knew that Jen is going to play the idol.
Well, the way that they are, Wait, I'm sorry, but he reads the votes after she plays the idol.
Right. So production knew beforehand.
Because the edit of the way that votes are read on TV doesn't necessarily mean the way they were read at Tribal Council.
What?
Yeah.
What? No way.
That's true.
Haley
all the time when you like there's what? Like an episode where like you know it's like oh is it this person or this person you know and this person hates this person those are the first two votes that they show. That's not probably how it really went. I'm not positive about this.
I'm pretty confident that the votes are I don't know how they could edit it. I mean what? Jeff counts unless they do that in post like where they just show Jeff holding up the votes and then in post-production Jeff's like that's one vote Haley. Yeah.
You don't see him reading sequential votes.
I don't want to speculate about that,
but like, I don't believe that. How could they know that after, you know, an hour of intense debate that Jen was, you know, going to play the idol?
I think what must happen is Jen must say I'm playing the idol. And I think then, because there's no, it makes no other sense why, Jen would be voted out and we wouldn't have seen any of the Kelly votes if that was the case.
Right. No, you're right. So yeah. Cause like then why like have the last Kelly vote? Yeah, you're absolutely right.
So, yes. And, I appreciate you coming to that conclusion.
Rob's the best. Know it all.
Yeah. So, I just think that's interesting that they must've known she was going to play the idol because of the way they stacked the votes like that, because, it would be a more anticlimactic to do that because it was like, okay, well, obviously Jen's votes aren't going to count and we're going to get to the point of whatever vote they get to is going to be that. So interesting reactions. Great show. You want to do one more question?
Yeah. Mike Doskus wants to know, it seems like the first Survivor episode where the majority didn't split the vote and they totally should have. Let's talk about it, Steven.
Okay. Yeah. So they had seven in this alliance. Now, actually, So they had seven and they had Will's vote, which they sort of squandered and put on Haley. Now, I guess you could still say put that vote on Haley.
Well, keep the vote on Haley. You want the vote on Haley.
Put the vote on Haley. So you have eight people. Yeah, this is a shit that they actually really did screw this up because you could put four votes on Jen, four votes on Haley. If the no collar group puts their votes all on Kelly, then you have a revote and then you could vote out whoever you want, whether or not there's an idol.
The problem is obviously that, you know, all of these votes were so tenuous, you know, like Mike didn't know that Tyler was going to be loyal, that Carolyn was going to be loyal, that Will was going to be loyal. You know, there's so many votes that were up in the air that you can't like be that, you know, that's like a narrow margin. That's like asking to be blindsided. It's like 4-4, you know, if you're not sure about Will, that right there could be the difference between your alliance winning and your alliance losing. So even though it didn't work out, I kind of like the not split.
Oh, look at you. Yeah,
I think that's a little bit counter. It's sort of a counterfactual because obviously the correct decision would have been, you know, based on history to split the vote. But I think in Mike's situation, I would not have split the vote.
I agree with you. I think you're asking a lot out of people to know exactly how the votes are going to go ahead of time. There's so much unknowns that I think that, you know, I think it's worth the gamble to not split the vote here, especially when you have Will, who you're not really sure about his votes. You don't even know that, like, we're assuming that Will is going to vote for Haley. For all Mike knew, Will was actually going to vote with the no-collar people.
Right.
Like, it wasn't just a test to see if he'll, it wasn't like he was that much in their pocket.
Right, exactly. That's exactly my point. Like, that could have been five votes right there. You know, you can't screw around with four and four split when, like, they very well may have a five majority. Right.
So
there.
I think that they ultimately just ended up picking the wrong target out of that group. Do you think that it would have been maybe the better move to vote Shireen? Now, again,
to make Jim Rice correct.
Yes, this is the move where instead of going for the person most, you know, again, that because to vote against Jen, it was sort of like, well, Jen actually had the idol, but there was a chance Joe could have had the idol too.
Right.
And Joe had immunity, so he could have given it to one of his two allies. Whereas take out, it doesn't matter who you take out a number. And again, I guess they don't know if Shireen is definitely with them, but I think that Carolyn probably would have had a sense that what Shireen is doing, especially after Shireen is like, you know, and again, you can't change the votes at tribal council because, you know, that throws off everything. But you had to have known Shireen is with them, is voting with them. She has no connections to what's going on with the blue collar tribe.
Yeah, no. Why are these blue collars so like idle unsavvy? You know, they
haven't found theirs.
They didn't find their idol. They're at the blue collar beach, right?
Yes.
So there's an idol in play, maybe two now. You know, they didn't find theirs. They're not like sort of really aware of other people's. It seems like they got a big blind spot.
Yeah, they're not too focused on the idol, but the idol is alive. Only one idol still in play right now, Carolyn's idol, and then we'll see what happens coming into next week. All right, Stephen Fishback, fantastic job this week.
Yeah, the great episode of the Know-It-Alls after a great episode of Survivor.
Yes, we brought it, and it was great. We didn't get stung by bees or jellyfish, so all great stuff. All right, so find out who did get the fishy in this very mysterious people blog. So many people were raving about your blog, your star-crossed bromance written in verse last week.
I was really excited. I was delighted with that. I think I'm hoping if that was the only article on people ever to be written in verse. I can't imagine what I don't know what my competition would be for that.
I think that's a safe bet.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good.
I think you got that. Okay, so check that out. Follow Stephen on Twitter at Stephen Fishback. Of course, then I will speak with Kelly tomorrow morning on our exit interview podcast. And then again, we will speak with Stephen Fishback's number one rated Survivor Bushkowskis of all time, Vetus.
Vetus.
Yes. And I will speak with Vetus in person, Stephen.
Yeah. Oh, wow. He's coming over.
Yes, he's coming. He's gonna totally come to the studio.
And
gonna
talk, that's great.
You're going to talk to Vetus, and then I'm going to then speak with Bryce Isaiah. So get your voicemails in for what should be a very fun episode. There's a lot to still talk about from this week's Survivor.
Okay. This season is so good. It's really, I can't wait for next episode. I can't wait 7 days.
Are you saying this is the best season of all time?
No.
Okay. Not yet.
Still not here. This is not Heroes versus Villains level.
Okay.
It's good, but it's not that good.
Okay. Yeah, of course. Yeah. So Stephen Fishback, great job. We will talk to you again next week. Looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments. Do you have a hashtag, Stephen?
Oh gosh. No. Bee stung. What do you got for me?
You know, I don't have one off the top of my head. We have what did we see tonight? We saw ice pick chainsaw.
Oh yeah, bomb. Ice pick is good.
Yes. What do you say?
Let's do ice pick.
Okay. Hashtag ice pick. Yeah. All right. So
it's kind of like our 49 laws of power one, right? Which was,
Oh, don't say it. You'll spoil it for people that didn't read it.
Oh. Okay. All right.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Stephen Fishback. We'll talk to you next week. Great job as usual. Thanks to Brendan, behind the scenes, and we'll be back with our next podcast coming up. I'll talk to Kelly tomorrow morning. Take care, everybody. Have a great night. Bye.
Bye.